Today's episode of the Open Pantry podcast is brought to you by me, Sean from Open Pantry Consulting. Make sure if you're opening a restaurant or starting to scale your restaurant that you come and check out what I'm doing at openpantryconsulting.com. Everything around operations analysis, recruitment, or data analytics. Everything to get your restaurant, cafe, or bakery on the better side of this crisis. Let's keep going with the show. Welcome to Refocus Week. This is a week where we're doing five podcasts over 5 days. We want to provide knowledge and inspiration to the people who want to transform and refocus their businesses. We have the presence of great guests who will go deeper into these themes in a funny and interesting way. I think you're really going to enjoy this week of guests. Let's get into the show. Welcome to another Open Pantry podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in as we talk this week about important back of house systems to get your venue aligned for growth. I'm very lucky to talk to our next guest. Paul Torrey is the CEO and founder of Food Bomb, which is a one-stop shop for restaurants, cafes and caterers to order wholesale food products. You can search products, compare suppliers and order all from the one application. So thanks so much for joining me, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So, I mean, the research I've been doing around this product and since we had a chat last week as well is just, I just really love the product the more and more I know about it. Like it's supply chain and procurement are just things that sometimes venues don't do well. They really like to think about their menu, but sometimes the supply chain around that is a bit of an afterthought. So do you want to talk about maybe how you start out in your career and how Food Bomb sort of got started as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is the meat wholesale service industry. So I would have been a perfect supplier for this platform. My family was in this business for 50 years, of which I was involved for the last 25 years of it, which we sold back in 2016. Yep. But during that time, obviously, as a supplier, I got to know the industry particularly well, the ins and outs, starting from the bottom, working my way up to running it. And I even launched a B2C business called Butcher Man back in the day, which we were the first to do home-delivered meats to the public. Mm-hmm. And that really opened my eyes to the whole world of e-commerce, the whole online selling of produce. I used to get venues coming on board saying, can I order my meat through the platform? And thought, well, that's odd. This is a retail platform. Surely there's a better option for you in the food service industry. Yeah. And quickly realized there wasn't. Mm. So after selling a business in 2016, I actually sold it to a bigger wholesaler, went over there and worked for a little bit in the interim to see, and I was sort of looking forward to seeing how they had addressed all the problems I'd experienced around ordering. And, you know, I used to get mostly back in those days, phone call ordering. It's still very common in the industry today, yes. But you'd get hundreds of voice messages and it was really hard to understand and people would have really unclear ordering. And so sold my business, went across to work with them for a while and realized they were 10 times the size, but they had exactly the same problems, 300 voice messages a night. And struggled to work. It was a little bit pre-apps, but I quickly realized that there was an opportunity there in the food service space. So I took the old Butcher Man concept, which was B2C, and sort of pivoted to a B2B concept and launched Food Bomb back in 2017. So we're just on 3 years now. And it's been amazing. Like I've loved every moment of it.
It's amazing. Like to pass the 3-year mark as well, like is a really important milestone for, you know, for a startup brand. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How would you explain the importance of Food Bomb and sort of what are a couple of benefits that venues would see in using a product like that versus, you know, using a probably traditional supply chain, I suppose that would do.
So I always tell this story by starting with the traditional supply chain. So you know, once upon a time and still common today, a venue will have multiple suppliers, whether it be meat, seafood, fruit and veg, poultry, cleaning, dry goods, packaging, bakery, dairy, you know, the list goes on, and all these different suppliers that they need to order on from every week, some multiple times, some multiple every day. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, they would get on the phone and they'd call their fruit and veg guy and, hey, I need 4 carrots, 2 apples, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yep. Then they hang up and then they call the meat guy. And slowly, the industry's move towards apps. There's some great businesses out there creating apps for suppliers. But that manages the one supplier, one venue. And even if every supplier has the world's greatest app, as a venue, you have to log in and out of 10 different apps every night to place your orders. Mm-hmm. And after that's done, you have no transparency across the market. Is that a good price, a bad price? You know, their product range is limited to what I can see there. You have no exposure to the whole market. And if you wish to onboard a new supplier, you'll reach out to a bunch of them. They'll send out their reps. They'll sit down with you. They'll give you samples and prices, credit applications, 4 pages long. Yep. You'll go through this whole process to switch supplier. And then a month later, after you've made the switch, the price will go up, the quality will go down, and you'll feel like, damn, I'm stuck where I was before. Mm-hmm. So Foodbomb, the aim of it is to create a one-stop ordering platform, but via a marketplace that connects venues with suppliers, giving great transparency across the marketplace. Mm-hmm. We allow suppliers to, you know, we give venues the access to over 150 suppliers on a single platform across 13 different categories, ensuring that they're always paying, you know, restaurant best quality prices. But it's more than just price. It's quality, it's service, it's optimization of your ordering process. It's so much greater efficiency in the way you run your business. Mm-hmm. It saves you so much time. Instead of ordering through 10 different apps, you can do it all on one seamless app where we create digital pantry lists of all your favorite products, favorited suppliers, access to specials from hundreds of suppliers. You can receive a special, go onto our dedicated specials page and see a special from a supplier you've never dealt with before. You may never wish to deal with again, but take advantage of a special, order from that platform without having credit application and receive it next day. There are so many advantages, I could go on and on. You know, automation to your accounting software and getting your invoices into MYB and Xero, reporting on you're spying, what you're selling, price fluctuations, all those sorts of things just make the venue's life so much easier. And of course, I mean, we try not to be only about price because price isn't the sole factor, but it's always important. But having now, you know, 1,000+ venues who've ordered through the platform, we traditionally get buying power that no independent venue can get on their own. Yeah. They look on the platform, they think, geez, how come your prices are so much better? Because we are buying in such volumes that the suppliers see real value. And we pay our suppliers every week. And on the flip side, for the supplier, we're an extension of their sales team. We have reps on the road. We do all the marketing. All we do is drive them leads. We pay them every week without fail. Mm-hmm. And so they see huge value in getting a digital order, which is very clear with SKU codes and everything very precise. There's no argument about what was ordered, how much was ordered, any delivery instructions are all available, all very clear. We integrate now with suppliers so that orders seamlessly integrate into their platforms.
Yeah.
And they get paid every week. So we're an extension of their sales team. We do their marketing. It's a win-win.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Because you're not controlling the logistics part, are you? It's up to the supplier to do logistics. So you would if I'm in a venue and I'm ordering something, basically it sends a purchase order to that supplier and they then finish the supply chain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in that world of logistics. I don't wish to get back there. Yeah. The suppliers do that all day, every day. That's what they do. We don't touch the produce. We don't, you know, it's exactly the same as it would exist outside Foodbomb. You'd call a particular supplier, he'd send you a delivery. This is the same. The only difference is you can order from 10 suppliers in a single checkout, press order, and order from all your suppliers in a single go. You'll get confirmation email from all the suppliers saying order is received. It's dispatched the next day, and bam, it turns up. Yeah, much, much easier.
Paul, you've obviously been in, you know, you've been in the game for a while now. Like, why do you think the hospitality industry is far behind in this kind of technology and in using this kind of tech? Like, there's so many venues that still ring suppliers and do invoicing in different ways and lose things and don't know how to do recalls and stuff. Like, why do you think the industry is slow to change?
I think it comes back to the suppliers. I think there's a lot of old school suppliers out there. I mean, I've met with hundreds of them now, yeah. And I see some suppliers turning over $1 million a week who are still taking orders via phone, simply because they, you know, some of their old internal systems that they use are from, look like they're from 1984. Like, it's pretty mm-hmm. old, mm-hmm. yet it works, and they're doing big volumes, and it ticks over, and they're scared to change.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it starts with the suppliers creating the right apps, and there's some mm-hmm. companies that come along, like the Automentums of the world, who've created these great apps for the suppliers. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, they're being educated to the value in changing. They see, you know, initially, and even like Foodbomb, they see us initially as a cost. Yes. But with time, they see we actually save them money.
Yeah, yeah, you're actually adding so much more value. Yeah,
that's right.
For everyone.
That's right.
What have you seen in the hospitality industry, you know, from a supplier perspective since the start of, you know, this COVID crisis? I know obviously you're sitting in Sydney, where, you know, there's been some challenges, not so much in the Melbourne landscape like where I am, but from a supplier perspective, what have been some of the challenges for you guys in the hospitality industry?
From the supplier's point of view, I mean, we personally, you know, for the suppliers, sorry, are you asking how the suppliers we deal with have struggled, or we as a platform have struggled with our suppliers?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would probably say from the suppliers that you deal with, like, how have you seen them be challenged during this time?
Yeah, right. Okay. So suppliers, COVID has obviously put a lot of pressure on them in terms of, you know, as soon as COVID hit back in March, venues were shutting left, right and centre. They were pivoting to try and those who didn't have deliveries available were trying to launch delivery platforms. Mm-hmm. There was a massive fall in volume, and we saw it plummet. You know, our sales dropped by 65% back in April.
Yeah, right.
And so the suppliers were sitting there going, oh my gosh, well, how am I going to get paid for one? Venues, you know, are notoriously bad payers.
Yes, I'm hearing that a lot.
And so they're sitting there saying, geez, I'm owed millions of dollars from venues who are no longer trading. What is my chance of getting back that money? I've got all these staff I have to let go. Yeah. So they were struggling big time. And on the flip side, they were saying, every venue that I supply outside the Foodbomb world owes me money. Every supplier on the Foodbomb platform had paid me. So for us, it was a little... just, you know, proof that Foodbomb process was worth it, and the money they pay us was very cheap.
Yeah.
But what I have noticed is those debilitating credit terms, which is what really I found troubling as a supplier, look like being a thing of the past. Mm. So those credit terms of 30 days and beyond, I think will be a thing of the past. I think suppliers are moving to much shorter credit terms.
Yeah.
Credit card payments and credit card security is becoming more common. Mm. A number of suppliers are switching to COD, or payment before they leave. They held a credit card on file, and before you leave, they process that payment because they no longer can afford to carry venues the way they did in the past. I think that's the biggest thing to come out of COVID.
Yeah. I feel sorry for it, for the suppliers, because I've talked to a lot since COVID, and you're right. Like, time and time again, I'm hearing the same conversation around how much money they're owed, and how these venues aren't trading, and how they're not picking up calls or answering emails, and that kind of stuff. Like, I think it's been a part of this crisis that we haven't talked about as much in the industry. And I think if anything's good to come of it, like, you know, lesser credit terms to make sure that suppliers are there, you know, getting their money as well, because they're supporting your venue, which is supporting your customers and yourself. Like, it only just makes sense. Yeah. Can you talk about it as well?
I speak to suppliers all the time, and it's a common frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So have we got a lag here?
Yeah, we've got a lag. Yeah. Sorry. Maybe start what you were going to say again, and I'll just cut it in.
Okay. I speak to suppliers regularly, and it's just a common complaint for them. You know, when I sit down and pitch them the Foodbomb concept, and I share stories about how I used to hate waiting for payment, and how some venues would be ordering time and time again and then not paying, you know, they all roll their eyes and say, tell me about it. That's the biggest frustration. It's a common thing with suppliers. Mm. You know, they feel like you get your car fixed and you pay for it. You get your hair cut, you pay for it. Why did it ever start in the food industry that restaurants say 30 days credit term? In fact, those that do, in my opinion, are a bad debt waiting to happen. You should be able to pay as you go, or use credit card, or use, you know, 7-day accounts are reasonable. But why do you need 30 days? You bought the produce, you sold it, you bought it, you sold it. That's a supplier's perspective. Venues will have a different point of view. They'll tell you they've got wages and cash flow and dramas like anyone else. But that's the supplier's view. They sit there thinking, you know, you place an order on Monday, you bought it, you sold it. You place an order on Tuesday, you bought it, you sold it. You place an order on Wednesday, you're clearly buying and selling the produce. Why can't you pay for it at the end of the week? Everyone who sits down at a restaurant pays.
Do you think that might lead to just a fundamental change in viability of some restaurants and, you know, and other food venues, Paul, if all of a sudden every supplier moves to COD or they move to 7-day terms rather than 30-day terms? Because 30-day terms was very, very normal before this crisis happened.
I actually think... I actually think it'll help the venues. In my I pay that first, whatever's left, that's my profit. That's a realistic view of what I'm making, other than pay my wage, pay myself a wage, pay my car, pay everything what's left, I'll pay my suppliers. That seems to be how it's done. The venues who pay first and keep things in check seem to survive for much longer, are happier, they're not stressed. They don't get into the hole of being owed, that where they owe so much money they can't see a way to trade out of it. So I think venues will only experience benefit from the shorter credit terms.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And to be fair, you use a credit card, you still get 30 days, you get up to 45 days. We've done partnerships with Zip, which is another thing where we do with Zip Business is a new product where we give people, they can come on our website, much like Afterpay or Zip Pay for a consumer. We have a business version of that. You come on our website, you apply 20 minutes, you know, within 20 minutes you get feedback saying you've been approved for a $5,000 to $25,000 line of credit. Yes. We're looking to extend that for bigger groups. And you can trade up to 60 days interest-free. As long as you pay that off within the 60 days, it's free. It's interest-free terms. So, and you can actually pay that with a credit card and extend that even further. So a lot of people during COVID were really jumping on board that, taking advantage of those extended credit terms. And we have a number of different payment options for people depending on eligibility. But in each case, we guarantee payment to the supplier.
Yeah, which is really critical, right? And I'm sure the suppliers love you for that.
Yeah.
Why do you think venues don't place the importance on stock management, you know, as much as I believe they should? And I'll give you some context to why I asked that question. There's been a lot of venues who I've worked with who do not stock take at all and just work out their cost of goods from their invoices, right? They don't do anything around wastage. They don't do anything around stock taking, nothing, end of year, nothing. Like, why do you think that happens? You know, I'm not saying it happens in every single venue, but, you know, and it's still a minority of venues across the board when, you know, cost of goods is usually the, you know, the second most expensive line in a P&L?
It's a good, very good question, and I know that you're 100% right, and I believe it comes down to they are so time poor. After you spend a 60-hour slog in a kitchen, chefs just don't seem to find the time to do it.
Yes.
I experienced that across the board. I've, you know, in the early days of selling this business, I'd sit down with the venue and they'd say to me, even worse than stock taking, they don't know the price of the produce they're buying. They'd sit down with an owner and a chef and say, what's your best seller? And he'd say, I sell, you know, Scotch fillet steaks. Yes. And I'd say, how much? And he'd say, it's X. And I'd say, no, it's not. It hasn't been that price for 10 years. You know, I know the industry pretty well. And they'd go back with an invoice and go, Jesus, it's, you know, it's $8 more expensive than I thought it was. You know, they have no idea. That's your biggest selling item and you didn't know the price of it, really. How are you costing even on the most basic level of costing? I've spoken to POS companies that support your theory of stock taking who say they have stock taking facilities in their POS and it's adopted by maybe 20%. And that's probably being generous of the venues. It's generally your big groups who need that very detailed reporting. Yes. But the smaller venues, they say I bought, you know, they do it very rudimentary. I spent $500 on my meat this week. I sold $1,000 worth of products that sell meat on my menu, I made money. It's a very basic thing. I think it's a lot down to skill level and time. We've surveyed venues who say they spend up to 2 hours a week just placing orders, just going through placing all their orders, as in going into my call room with my clipboard, flipping over the page, looking at my stock. What do I need? I need a box of apples, I need a box of carrots, the rabbits. Then I go and order that. Then my meat, then my seafood, then, you know, all these things, just placing the orders. So stock take is the further thing from their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly an interesting time. I do, there's been a lot of chat amongst the industry the last couple of months about the fact that prices on especially mains and stuff like that haven't moved very much, especially in the last 10 to 15 years. And I do wonder if, you know, the fact that not every single venue is really controlled around their supply chain, around their wastage, around their stock taking, that, you know, as you just noted, like sitting down with a chef who doesn't know there's an $8 price difference per kilo in a major item. If you don't know how much something costs, how do you know how to price it, you know, for a customer? You know, it's doesn't really make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, like every industry in the world, competition is huge. I mean, Sydney, Melbourne have so many eateries, so many cafes, restaurants, pubs, clubs where you can eat. The competition on price exists in their industry the same as it does in every other industry.
Yes.
And if you're not sharp on price, you can suffer from, you know, but you need to be able to sell at a price that makes profitable. If you're a pub, you might sell it at cost because you make money on drinks, but most venues need to be on top of what they're paying. You know, I say it all the time, you pointed out earlier, the two biggest costs for a restaurant are the cost of goods sold and your wages. Mm-hmm. Now, Foodbomb cannot help you with your wages, but, you know, if I was to sell you, hey, I can bring an extra 100 people through your door every week, you would say, great, but that would come with costs. You'd have to have more wages, more, you know, just staff generally, you'd have to buy more produce. And so the actual extra profit you make wouldn't be as much. But if I can save you on your cost of goods, if I can actually reduce your spend on your cost of goods, that's money in your pocket. That's all profit. And so there needs to be more attention paid to that, without doubt. If you're a restaurant and you're not on top of your cost of goods sold, you're a temporary restaurant that won't be around very long.
Do you, I want to ask you a couple of questions before I let you go, if that's okay, Paul. Do you think, because I know obviously with this great tech product you've got, do you think as an overall industry that tech is really going to change the way the industry moves and shapes over the next couple of years? Like, I felt like we, as an industry, we were really, really far behind the eight ball when it came to tech and when it came to automation and QR codes and all these different things. Like, have you seen in your business, you know, growth during this COVID time when, you know, managers and owners are sitting down and thinking about all the things which are important in them making sure their business runs and really thinking about how to make it, you know, more efficient and save them some money and save them a lot of time?
Absolutely. I think apps, you know, this industry is being flooded now with technology. Mm. It was a late starter, but there's a lot of them hitting the market now. Mm. And all of them are aimed, you know, especially post-COVID now, where venues are running leaner. They're searching for a way to optimize the way they run their business to improve the efficiencies in both ordering and cost of goods. Yes. So apps, you know, all these new technologies are certainly welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years ago, they were frowned upon. Now, they're a must.
Yeah.
You know, the Deliveroo integrations and all the rest of those platforms, they're bringing new revenue stream. We're helping them save the cost of goods. And COVID has proven it to us. Like I said to you, we fell by 60% in April. Mm-hmm. We have onboarded hundreds of venues during COVID. Like, we've had the biggest upturn in business that we've ever had. Yeah. Like our sales now are well beyond pre-COVID numbers because venues were desperately looking out there for a better, more efficient way to do things.
Yes.
Where they're very price conscious, and Foodbomb just solves that problem for them.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing that's probably come out the last couple of months is venues have come back to trading properly, and, you know, the density limits have changed, so they're able to serve, you know, close to, you know, the customers they were serving before. Is that now there's an issue with staffing, the fact they can't get the amount of staff they need. So they're looking at solutions tech-wise that they can, you know, take away some of the customer experience onto the customer itself to do it with, you know, with ordering and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But also, you know, allowing managers to save time with products like yours in order to just make things more efficient. So I think it's going to be, you know, an amazing time for companies like yours, with really, really great quality tech that are going to, just save venues time and just add a whole lot more efficiency. Yeah. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I think those ordering from the table apps are going to become more common.
Yes.
I think that's just a given. Mm. And, you know, venues, once you go to an ordering platform like Fubon where you order all your supplies in one place, you're never going to go back to that world of logging on and off 10 different things and pencils and clipboards. And yeah. So, you know, the adoption's been slow in this industry, but it's the uptake is fast now.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. Paul, the last question before I let you go. What are you most looking forward to getting back to that you haven't been able to do during this COVID time that, yeah, you're really excited about?
Oh, I think like the rest of the world, travel. I mean, travel on a personal level, but also travel on a business level. We have a team in Melbourne as well as Sydney. Yeah. We've been very isolated from them. We feel sorry for them, actually. Hopefully we can bring them up here for Christmas with us. But I'd love to be able to get down to Melbourne and to see our team and suppliers down there. So just, you know, in general on a personal level, but also on a work level, I think that's what, that wouldn't be an uncommon answer, I think.
Yeah, it's the most common one I'm getting at the moment. I think, people just want connection back and it's good that it's slowly starting to come back.
Yes, I personally had a big holiday booked overseas this year for my 50th. And we had to cancel that because, you know, traveling overseas obviously a thing, you know, isn't going to be happening for a while. So we went and booked Noosa for January and now they closed the borders from Queensland on us. So I'm not having much luck in the travel industry, but I'm hoping that that will open up in December and I'll finally get on a holiday.
Well, my fingers are crossed for you, Paul. What's the best way that people can find out about Fubon and connect with you guys?
Just go onto our website, foodbomb.com.au, register there, and one of our BDMs will contact you shortly after you register and they will set up a time where they'll run through a free audit of your business. They'll come out, sit down with you. They'll look at what you're buying, where you're buying, see if they can make some improvements for you. Some venues from time to time, we sit down and say, hey, you're doing an amazing job, keep at it. But more than 99% of the time, we can save them a lot of money and optimize the way to do their ordering so they get out of that pen and paper routine that they're stuck in at the moment.
Yeah, and start to automate their business properly. So
that's right.
The link for that is in the show notes, as always. Paul Torrey, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning to another episode of the Open Pantry Podcast. I hope you really got something out of it and really enjoyed it. As always, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you know when it's coming out. We tend to launch 1 to 2 a week. Sometimes there are extra special episodes that are released too, so make sure you're ahead of it. And as always, please make sure that you're sharing this podcast with those who you think can value from the content that we're producing too. So thanks so much for listening. Until next time, stay well.